Again, want to greet all of you here this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to pray for something this morning. I can't hear in my left ear hardly at all. So I'm not sure how loud I'm speaking. So I'm just asking you to pray that God would open that ear, at least for this morning, for the next half an hour, is my prayer this morning. Most of all, that God is honored and glorified. Subject I have this morning is victory in temptation. Our verse that we have up here, our key verse, is no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. We're going to go to that verse quite a bit this morning. We're talking about temptation. I could ask each one of you, you're from a bunch of different churches here this morning, and I could ask each one of you, do you have temptation in your life, in your church? And every one of us would have to admit, yeah, we have temptation. I probably asked you this morning if you had temptation this morning. And I'm guessing a large number of us would say, yeah, we face temptation this morning. Maybe your temptation this morning is to kind of zone out until the next half an hour is over. I'm asking you not to yield to that one. We've been looking at the life of Christ. We go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, if you like. I'd like for you to turn there. And we're going to be looking at some of the temptations that Jesus faced. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time in those. We want to look at a little bit of what temptation is. And maybe a few ideas of how we can be overcomers when it comes to facing temptation. One of the things that I face in life when I get something new in a box. The other day I got a filter for a water line. We've got so much rust in our water. So I bought a filter and put in line to try to take the water out of, or the rust out of the water before it gets into the water softener, because our water softener just doesn't want to function properly. So I got this big filter, and I never once looked at the directions when I opened it. That's a temptation I yield to. I saw a picture yesterday of somebody that had gotten a chair somewhere, and they didn't read the directions. And the chair had two legs sticking out of the front and two sticking out of the back, opposite directions. We're tempted sometimes to take shortcuts. There's a story told, an example given of a dad and his young son that were walking along a canal. And as they were walking along, the dad told his son, he said, "Son, I don't want you to go swimming in this canal." "Okay, Dad." That night, the dad comes home, and he sees his son come walking in with a pair of wet swimming trunks over his arm. He said, "Son, what have you been doing?" He said, "I've been swimming." "Didn't I tell you not to go swimming?" He said, "Yeah, you told me that." He said, "But this morning when I left, I took my swimming trunks with me." He said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "Just in case when I get to that canal, I'm tempted to swim." Kind of relates to us sometimes, doesn't it? I'd like for you to stand this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 4, verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 through 11. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit up into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him upon a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Again, the devil took him up into a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said unto him, 'All these things I will give you If you will fall down and worship me, then Jesus said to him, Go, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. You may be seated. We're going to go back to the first one there in verse 1 through 4, the temptation that Jesus faced. And there's, as I was looking at the three different temptations here, looking at the many different ideas that people have, have of these temptations, there are many. Many different things people get out of this. So I'm going to share just a little bit about these three, what I saw in each one of these. You may see that, you may not, you might see something else. But I see in the first one where Satan came to him and told him, he said, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus had just finished fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know if there was a time of temptation in there or not. There's another scripture that would maybe seem like he was tempted during that time, but I'm not sure. But I know there was a closeness because he was fasting. There was a closeness to the Father during this time. He was being strengthened. Physically, he was weak. But I believe spiritually, he was being strengthened. But he comes to him at a time when he's really hungry. And he asked him, can you just take your miraculous powers and turn this stone into bread? Could Jesus have done it? Yes, he could have done it. But what I see in this is something that we do so many times. We want what's instant. We want to be gratified quickly. What we want it now. We want a life of pleasure, and we will do everything we can to achieve that life of pleasure. We live in an area here where there's lots of jobs available. It seems a lot of us are young people, and I'm not speaking down on the young people this morning. Please understand this. But you have a lot more opportunity to gain financial success than I had at your age. I'm not looking down on that. But what I'm saying is, with what we have here, it's so easy for us to desire quickly things of pleasure. And I think it's something we need to be cautious of. Let's go to the next one. The next one he talks, takes him to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, way up, about 200 feet up. You can see all around. And he tells him, just cast yourself down. Satan says, Jesus, cast yourself down. His angels will come and take you. You won't even dash your foot against a stone. The first one, Jesus came back with Scripture. When Satan is faced with Scripture, he cannot stand. Jesus came back with Scripture. Now Satan's coming to Jesus with Scripture, but he's twisting it. Jesus answers him. He says, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus could have cast himself down. His angels would have taken care of him. But imagine what that could have done. It could have taken him right down into the middle of the crowd, the middle of the area there where there was many people. And he could have, if we look at it in our way, we think it would have been awesome. Look at the miracle I did. Look at what everybody's seeing. It becomes prideful, glorifying self, popularity. Let's go to the next one, verse 8. Then the devil took him up into a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he offered to give all these to him. Great wealth. Self-sufficiency. I am someone. But there's something else we need to catch in this verse. Satan had an agenda. All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. We can make a message out of that itself. Satan had come. Jesus talks about it in Isaiah 40, chapter 14, verse 13. He says, This is what Satan said. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This was Satan's goal, and now he's bringing this back again in the temptation. Fall down and worship me. That's Satan's desire for each one of us this morning. That we make something great of ourselves. That we have something, that we serve ourselves. Let's just put it simply, that we serve ourselves. It's a temptation that we serve ourselves. But we have the Holy Spirit which feeds us spiritually. We have everything supplied for us. It's a spiritual battle. I just shared a message about, when I was going through Ephesians, about our spiritual battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Then we go down to verse 17. He tells us to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I like what God told Moses in Deuteronomy 31. He was talking to Moses here and he was telling him, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And then Moses took that on to Joshua. And he says down a couple of verses from there. And I'd like for you to take this personal this morning. Put your name in here. Take this as God speaking to your heart this morning. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Where's my confidence this morning? My confidence is strong in God. What's going to happen when the temptations come along? We see in the first verse there, of where we just read in Matthew 4, verse 1. He says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. See, Jesus didn't go by Himself into the wilderness. We're not on our own. So many times we feel like we're on our own in this world. But can I say it this way? God's got our back. We have the Holy Spirit with us. When Jesus left, He said in John 16, verse 7, He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It's good that I go. He said, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, He's going to send Him to us. He's going to be with us. We can have Him within. How do we face temptations? Is there a positive way to face temptation? Is there a way for me to become an overcomer? Or do I always have to lose? Can I be successful? Let's look at a few things about temptation. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to chapter 4 in Hebrews. We're going to look at verse 15. Chapter 4 of Hebrews. Let's look at a few more verses there. Actually, we'll begin in verse 14 of Hebrews 4. He says here, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain and find grace to help in time of need. Verse 15 there tells us a lot about temptation. I got a question here this morning. Is temptation sin? If you would have asked me that not too long ago, I'd have said, yes, temptation is sin. But I got a different idea for you this morning. According to this verse, I believe temptation is not sin. And I want you to follow me here this morning because I want to explain a few things with temptation here. If I say temptation is sin, Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted. He left sinless. We're going to come to another verse here after a while and we'll get a little bit deeper into this. Temptation is the gateway to sin. And it's very dangerous. The longer we allow that temptation to brew within us, the easier it is for us to go on beyond temptation. I like to ask a question this morning. I don't want you to answer this to me, but answer in your heart. Are you facing this? Specific to those of us that are older, are you still facing the same temptations that you felt that you faced when you were 20? If you're 40 today and you're facing the same temptations that you felt that you faced then, There's a possibility that you didn't deal with the temptation back then. I'm not saying we don't face some of the same temptations, because we do. But as we grow, as we become victorious in our walk with Christ, some of the temptations that we face are no longer there. There are new temptations. As long as you have your heart pumping within you, there's going to be temptations. I don't think we ever come to the place where we can say we have no temptation within us. Because we do. One of the things that causes us to give in to temptation is discouragement. I could ask for a raise of hands this morning of all of you that have faced discouragement this year. And I think we'd all raise our hands. I found for myself, as I face discouragement, if I allow my heart to turn inwards towards myself, I become discouraged. It becomes all about myself. But when I look for encouragement, I go to the Word and I look for encouragement, all of a sudden my heart is turned to the Father. It's turned to brothers and sisters around me, and all of a sudden this discouragement leaves me and I find courage. And some of the temptations that I face, I can be victorious. Not in myself, but it's with the Father's help. There's another thing that we would like to believe sometimes. And this one's a little bit tricky, I guess. But the temptations that I feel in my situation are different than your temptations. They're so much worse. Because of where I've been in life, the temptations that I'm feeling, you guys have nothing like that, do you? That's a lie that we believe. He says again in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, the verse that we have right here, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." We all face temptations. There's another thing that happens when we face temptations. This is as believers. This is as those that have grown, that are on the meat. We face the temptation, and we're going to talk about where temptation comes here in a little bit. Comes from, but we face a temptation, and I'm going to give you an example. We have a thought in our mind that's not clean. I think I can speak for all of us here this morning. We have a thought in our mind that's not clean. And all of a sudden we get this idea that, how could I? How could I be so filthy? God can no longer like me. I think He's going to push me out. Because of the filthy thought I had in my mind. Please understand, I am not by any means condoning sin this morning. I want us to be very clear on that this morning. I am not here this morning telling you it's good to sin, it's okay to sin, because it is not. Sin is going to take you to a place you do not want to be. It is not okay to sin this morning. Let's get back to where we were. What about this thought that came into my mind? Is this sin? If the temptation comes along, it is not yet sin. What makes it sin? Turning your Bibles to James. I'm going to have to see where I'm at here. James chapter 1. What makes this temptation sin? James chapter 1 verse 14 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." You may disagree with me this morning, but I want you to think this through. And if you disagree with me, I'd like you to talk to me after the service. But in this verse, I do not yet see sin. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." At this point, the temptation has come now. It is within our minds. We still have an opportunity to do something with that temptation. What can we do with the temptation? What would you do? Let me just ask this. The temptation has come now.
What do I do with this temptation?
Well, let's keep going. Yield not. Okay, very good. The temptation is here. It's there because of my lustful heart. And we're not talking about an unbeliever. An unbeliever that has a heart of sin. We're talking about believers. If we admit we all have a lustful heart, and I'm not talking about a sexual lustful heart, I'm talking about a heart that desires things that are not good all the time. Let's go to verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, we have given in to the temptation now, into the lust, now there's conception, now sin is born. Am I making sense to you? Do you understand where I'm at here? I'm not in no way saying that lust is good. No, I'm not saying that. The enticing, I'm not saying it's good. But I believe where sin begins to happen is when we've given in to that temptation and all of a sudden, there is birth. There is birth. Let me read this in the NLT. Temptation comes from our own desires which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Did you catch the last part? It gives birth to death. When we allow temptation to come into our lives and we feast on it, and it gives birth to sin, you know, so many times we think we can hide that. We can hide that sin. Nobody's going to know. If we go into Psalm 139 and we start reading about where all that the Father is, He's everywhere. He knows all about us. He knows about that sin. But let's back up a little bit to verse 14. But every man is tempted when he was drawn away of his own lust and enticed. This is where we need to be very cautious. When that temptation comes, to immediately bring it to the throne of the Father. So we don't go any further. I found when I face the temptation, when I face an ugly thought, when I face hate, when I face anger, I bring it to the Lord on my knees. I speak verbally, I speak loudly. I want the spirits that are around, there's always a battle going on. But I want the spirits that are around to hear that I went to the Father. And the Father's going to give me victory. We can ask the Father to drive the spirits away. We can ask the Father to give us victory, and He will. He promised that to us. It's when we choose to allow lust to conceive when we fall into sin. He tells us in Romans 13:14, He says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." I take that, I'm going to paint a little picture here this morning. We have a mom with her children. She's going shopping. Moms, you know what this is all about. You have a cart full of groceries. You have two or three children hanging on. Some are on the sides of the cart, some behind. You go through the candy aisle. What's going to happen? Mom, I want candy. Can we add this to the cart yet? Can we add this to the cart? Now let's add to that picture. And I'm going to take this to one of the biggest difficulties that's happening in life right now. Not just out there, but I'm talking about as Christians. And that is pornography. We have our computers. We have our computers and we can hide behind those computers and we can see what's on those screens. The mom in the candy aisle says, "The next time that I come into this store, I am not going to go through the candy aisle. Because I face some very treacherous activities in the candy aisle with my children." The temptation was there for the children to take candy. Now let's go back to the computer, the pornography.
Now we have somebody that's hiding behind the screen. Excuse me.
They know it's sin and they feel horrible when they shut that computer down.
Because they know they gave in. They yielded.
So the next time you sense you want to go to the computer and turn on the pornography, what are you going to do? Are you going to go down the candy aisle?
Are you going to make a commitment that the next time I will not?
I'm going to stay out of the candy aisle. I'm not going to face that issue. See, sometimes we can put ourselves in the way, actually all the time. The temptation comes because we put ourselves there. Let's look at a few ways to be overcomers. Again, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. We are not alone. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So many times we hear, I couldn't help it. This verse tells me that God is there. He's faithful. I don't care if it's this thing with pornography. I don't care if it's the candy. I don't care what it is. When the temptation comes, God is faithful. He hasn't left us. He's there if we call out to Him. We talked a little bit about encouragement and discouragement. I need to go to these verses here. I know it's 22 already, but there's a couple of verses here that I've got to look at. I'm just going to read them. You don't have to turn there. But here's the area where Nebuchadnezzar had taken Israel to Babylon. Here they were. They were in another city. They were captive. And so many times when it feels like we've been taken somewhere, we don't want to be, we complain. God told them here, in Jeremiah 29 verse 5, it says, build ye houses and dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them. He said, take wives, have sons, daughters, seek the peace of the city. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners, your diviners, I'm not sure how to say that word, that be in the midst if you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye caused to be dreamed. Don't be discouraged. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, listen to the promise, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good toward you in causing you to return to this place. Now listen to what he tells them about what he knows about them. And this is for you and I today too. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, a good end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. May I ask you this morning, how much am I searching for God this morning? Am I facing these temptations because of the lust in my heart? Because I have not sought for God. I haven't gotten on my knees and I haven't dug for Him. I haven't sought for Him. Seek for Him with all your heart and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. God's not hiding. He's desiring that we get on our knees, that we have that fellowship with Him. He's desiring that we know Him. I will be found of you. Those verses just blessed me so much as I was studying. The times that we face temptations, the times that we come to a place where we really don't even want to be, seek God. Fall on your knees before Him. And He's going to answer you. He's there. You're not on your own. Another one we can think about is to recognize that it's temptation. We can make all kinds of excuses. This isn't temptation. Yes, it is. If we face a temptation, let's recognize it. Let's bring it to the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Then there's a phrase here I want you to catch this morning. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Maybe I'm taking this verse out of what it's saying here. And I don't want to do them, but as I studied this, this became so clear to me. He says, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What kind of friends do I have? Do I have friends that are choosing to call on the Lord out of a pure heart? Am I making friends with those that are not walking the walk? Choose good friends. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That lust that comes along, you won't fulfill it. Walk in the Spirit. Proverbs 4:14, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Don't go down that candy aisle. Go a different direction. Take a different road. I'm going to look at two more here really quick. Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Have your weapon ready. The Word of God. How are we going to go against Satan with the Word of God if we don't know it? Now I'm going to give you something here that's very difficult for me, but it can be done. Memorization. And I'll just throw this out for what it's worth. Lord willing, as we get into our Wednesday night studies throughout the year of 2018, we're going to get into some memorization. So you might want to sharpen yourselves a little bit. We're going to try to do some memorization. How am I going to face these temptations? Jesus showed us that He could go against Satan with Bible verses, with the Scripture. If I don't have the Scripture, how am I going to go against Satan with the Scripture? Have your weapons ready. The next one is choose accountability. Proverbs 27:17 says this, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We can imagine this morning that I have a knife up here that's pretty dull. I have a knife here, it's still a knife, it's not quite as useful as what it could be, but as I take it and I start sharpening that knife, all of a sudden it becomes sharp, it becomes useful. Those of you who like to butcher know that a sharp knife is very important. Iron sharpens iron. We need friends that we can talk to. We need friends that we can associate with. We need friends that we can go to. We can say, is this Bible? Is this where I should walk? Is this how God is leading me? Would you pray about this and help me to understand if I'm on the right track or not? We need friends. We need friends that we can go to, that we can be very honest with and tell them, you know, I'm facing a temptation. I have a sexual temptation right now. I have a temptation to cheat on my taxes. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me so that I don't give in to this lust that I'm facing? We need friends that we can be accountable to. With the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the Word of God, we are able to face temptation and to say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Friends, if we give in to temptation, if we continue to walk a path where temptation becomes just another thing that I give in to, we're not going to be able to claim these verses here. Now, I want us to be able to claim these verses. I've got some verses up here this morning. I'm just going to read through these real quick. And I'm going to challenge you with these verses. You can write them down if you'd like to. Maybe write down the references and we'll just leave them up there if we can. Those in the sound room, if you just leave those up there for a while. But if you were to take these verses this week and you were to focus on a few of these verses and allow them to work into your heart. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 55:2, cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." 1 Peter 1:6-9, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ, of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, ye yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Let's finish well. Let's finish well. I guess I'm just thinking, what if this was the week that Christ returns? What if this was the week that God calls me home? I may not be here next week. We don't know. But let's finish well. Let's walk in the way that He's called us to walk. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? Again, Lord, we thank You this morning for Your love to us. We thank You, Lord, for providing a way for us to walk. Father, our desire is to finish well. Our desire is, Lord, to hear those words, "Well done." But, Father, we know it takes a connection with You. We know, Father, it takes You living within us. It takes giving our temptations, Father, to You as we face them. And, Father, growing. So, Lord, we bless You this morning. We ask, Lord, that You would continue to speak into our hearts even throughout this week. Lord, that we would turn our hearts to You. Most of all, Father, that we would glorify Your holy name. Oh, we bless You, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.